You heard from anybody else yet?
Not yet.
All right. Well, it's only 7 o'clock.
Wow. Yeah, I know. God, we got at least a half hour before anybody else shows up, you know. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QAM! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, we survived the blizzard of 2013. Michael falls down, goes boom. And why are the feds loading up on so much ammunition? All that and more on Late Night QAM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Josh, Barry J, and Michael! Hey everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM, show number 81 from the very snowy southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
From the also very snowy southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And for a change, from the snowy suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the Virtual Youper.
Yes, and you
but
might
I'm not mobile today.
You're not mobile, and you might as well say the perpetually snowy corner of Copper Harbor. Yes, yeah, we're sitting here, oh, wow, you know. I took my measurement here, and I said in the driveway, and I took the yardstick out, and I said, well, the blizzard of 2013, also known as Nemo. I didn't know they were naming blizzards now, but
yes,
they are. It was like 22 inches. Well, that was the shallow part, apparently, because there was a lot of blowing and whipping around. It was well over 3 feet in some places here. And, you know, of course, we're all here in New England not complaining, but going, look how much snow we got. And, of course, Michael sits there with 3 to 5 feet on the ground with another foot snowing today.
Well, we get it all the time, so we're kind of used to it.
Yeah, but do your schools all shut down? I mean, you're going to get a foot of snow. You're going to get a foot of snow tonight. Are your schools going to shut down tomorrow?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Whereas,
it's been a light winter. We've only had 155 inches so far officially. Now it's closer to 170, but at the official measuring point, it's 155. That's flurries for us.
But you don't understand here, and I don't know when New England people became wimps. But here, the schools, most of them are shut down again tomorrow, Monday. Now this storm came through on Friday, and mostly Friday night, and ended Saturday, and the schools are still closed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Why? The roads are clear. Of course, this is coming from a guy who, I got up for work on Friday, looked outside. I was getting ready to walk out the door. I had the jacket on and everything, and it was snowing. I said, I'm staying home. And I'm going to get ribbed tomorrow because it snowed for about 45 minutes and then it backed off to flurries. And it pretty much flurried until the end of the day.
I was almost in the same boat. I actually talked to my boss and said, I'm taking Friday off. I'm not coming in. I'm not dealing with it, especially with my truck being in the shop, my four-wheel drive. So the little car, she doesn't do so good in the snow.
Right.
I got a text about 10 o'clock from my colleague saying, hey, we're all here. We were missing you bunches because we're all here. And then the call came in at 11 o'clock, shut the plant down, everybody go home because there's a ban on the highways.
Yes, that was another thing. The People's Republic of Massachusetts decided to put a ban on all driving. Now, I think it started off as on the highways, but then they extended it to the other surface roads.
Yep,
at least on. In the Boston area. I don't know whether it was all, I'm assuming it was all Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But the penalty was, if you were on the road driving after 4 p.m. on Friday, the penalty was $500 and up to a year in prison.
Yep.
Just for getting caught on the roads.
If it wasn't a medical emergency or you weren't an authorized individual to be on the roads, then that's exactly it.
So I was worried about you because I thought you might have ventured into work and maybe not heard about this because, oh, by the way, they didn't start talking about that until about mid-morning.
Right, right.
And it's like if you're not listening to a radio or something and you don't know it, you could jump on the highways at 4 o'clock and yeah.
Find yourself getting a very large ticket.
And a year in jail.
Yes. No, I actually, like I said, I decided I'm not dealing with any of the jazz and any of the junk and any of the people trying to rush home and driving silly. So I thought, nope, time to burn a vacation day.
Yeah. No, I had EWT, so I burnt some of my EWT, which I'm upset about. But
you know what? But you're not as upset. As I mean, well, like you said, yours, because the storm came from the south, so
yeah,
I could see where you'd be a little bit more bummed about it. But I'm happy because, quite honestly, by when time I normally would leave, you know, anywhere between the 4 and 6 o'clock at night, the roads were already thoroughly well, aside from the band, but were a mess.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, my biggest thing is I got to go over Temple Mountain on my commute, and that's the thing that worries me the most.
That frequently if it's too bad,
right? And then I can't get home, you know. So it's you know, and I also try to avoid my commute's about an hour, and however, if it's snowing and the roads are slick, it becomes a 3-hour commute, and what I call a white knuckle 3-hour commute.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I try to avoid those. So yeah, I'll get teased tomorrow at work. But, you know, I'd rather be safe.
Yep.
And than sorry. So
it's very easy to have someone say sit there and give you an earful and go, you know what? I'm a lot less upset listening to you trying to give me an earful than I would be if I wrapped my car around a tree.
Yeah, exactly. But I've got to say, though, to me, that Massachusetts band was incredible. That's reaching a little bit too far.
That's because it steps back to the blizzard of 78, where they had hundreds of people stranded on the highways in the snow.
Well, that was 35 years ago. They didn't even have computers to do the weather forecasting, the local weather forecasting. They did it all by facsimile and teletype reports. You know, it's 35 years ago, you know, we're a little more up to date than that. And we've got better vehicles now that can handle it. But even the same, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you decide to venture out on your own, then so be it. But don't expect anybody to come out and help you if you get stuck, you know. So, but this whole thing about, oh my God, you know, what happens if you were at work, like I said, and you didn't hear the radio or the announcement, and you were just trying to get home past 4 o'clock, you could be in a whole hell of a lot of trouble.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm glad I live in New Hampshire and actually our new, I actually thought our new governor handled things well, and she just requested that people not drive. She didn't do any bans or anything like that, and she just basically said, if you're smart, you'll stay off the roads and let the highway people do their job and getting the roads clear. And so I give her kudos for that, because and she even made a point of saying, well, I think she said something like, well, our people, we think our people are a little more intelligent. So, I'll give her credit for that, definitely. But, I don't know. So Friday, Saturday came, and the snow stopped about noon here. I think it continued places east for a while. But I got out there with the snowblower. And got about half the driveway done, and not realizing that the temperature outside was about 12 degrees, when I was out there snow blowing. And so my fingers became totally numb. And I didn't even realize that. They were cold at first, and I said, oh, they seem to be warming up now. I had two pairs of gloves on. And they weren't warming up. They were just becoming numb. When I got inside, well, let's put it this way. There's three fingers that I still kind of have pins and needle feeling on the ends of the fingertips.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll clear up. It seems to be getting better as time goes on. But yesterday I was a little concerned because, yeah, they were totally numb up until bedtime or so and swollen. But right. I didn't see any black or blue or anything like that. So maybe maybe just a touch of frostbite.
Just a flesh wound.
Yeah. So today was much better because it was much warmer outside. It was up in the 30s today, so... but man, I'll tell you, you know, you say, well, you got a snowblower, self-propelled snowblower. Yeah, but you got to manhandle that snowblower in this kind of snow.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a workout. But
I can believe it.
It's all clear. It's all done. And
until tomorrow.
Pictures are on Facebook. So... hopefully it's our one and only big snowstorm of 2013. Yeah.
Hopefully.
So let's see. As we're sitting here, Michael's adding notes.
Interspersing them inside.
Yeah.
Existing notes.
Well, what's the cross-country skiing today?
Yes, my city skiing, as you call it. Since I spell cross-country with an X.
X-country, so it must be city.
Yes, yeah. Well, I did about a 2.5-hour cross-country ski today. And for once, actually for the first time this year, I got through a full skiing without my pager going off.
Wow.
But the I think the reason why is because I had an FDGB event there.
FDGB.
Fall down, go boom. I actually put that down in my reports occasionally. I learned that in one of the emergency rooms when I was an intern. But, and it's, you know, too bad there wasn't anybody there to see it because it was pretty epic. I mean, the conditions today before the snow hit, best grooming, best. I had the wax perfect. You do a push off and you just glide. And I was just screaming along. And I was on this flat, straight stretch. No hills, no turns, but there was this branch that was kind of hanging low because it was full of wet, heavy snow.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got near that branch, I had a duck, and I ducked to the left, and my momentum just continued to carry me.
To the left?
And I had a spectacular wipeout, yes. I mean, I think it's the first time my bindings have ever released.
Oh, wow.
And I got up, and I'm like, oh, that was pretty cool. Oh.
Jeez. Wow.
I snapped both of my ski poles.
You're holy kidding.
Smokes.
Yeah. And they're carbon fiber poles. The carbon fiber part's okay, but the end of them has got this adjustable metal point that you could flip around to go between, you know, walking poles and ski poles.
Okay.
Snapped them right off.
Really?
I'm going to take a picture of that later.
Jeez.
So the nice little white spot at the end for skiing was missing. So now when I pushed down, the pole would go all the way down the ground, which was awkward.
Yeah,
but at least the pager didn't go off during all of this, because then I would really had a hard time getting to the road quickly.
Wow. So, but you made it to the end, or did you have to go back?
No, I actually got through. Yeah, I finished. This happened maybe a mile from my home, and I was already heading that way. So I'm bummed. I've had these poles for about 10 years, but I've got three other sets of ski poles. Just that I got these. These were really, really nice, collapsible. They're meant for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, so they would collapse down the really, really small poles that you could throw them on your backpack when you weren't, you know, out there on your,
right,
your snowshoes. And I think I got them on sale for like $100, so they weren't cheap.
Wow.
But they're done. They're absolutely done.
Jeez. Wow, you must have been moving pretty good for that, for them to snap like that.
Well, I was moving pretty good, but I think it was just the angle that I fell. I'm surprised I got, I'm trying to replay this from my mind, and I can't think of how I did it to fall on both of them. But I think I tried to push off with the one on my left, and then the other one crossed in front of me, and then I went down over both of them. I'll put a picture up on Google Plus later, and
okay,
you can peruse the picture and see what I did. But it's pretty impressive. It did a good job on them.
Jeez, wow. Well, at least you're out doing something with the snow that was good.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That really held me up because my youngest son is working for one of the establishments in town, stacking firewood for the wood burners. And they were getting low, and they wanted to get it all restocked before the snow hit tonight. So wow. I drove him over to where he needed to do where he needed to work, and then I rewired the phone wiring in a house for somebody, and then I moved a boat. Of course, I had to shovel it out first. But you know what? Pontoon boats actually float on 3 to 5 feet of snow pretty well. You just kind of get it, you know, get it moving, and you get slide it right across the snow.
Jeez.
But I did get some looks coming through town with a pontoon boat on a trailer. As a,
in the snow.
In the snow.
That might be fun going down a down a hill on in the snow.
Maybe, yeah. Not much steering, though.
Oh, well, that's the fun part about it.
Yeah.
The challenge.
Okay.
I'd like to keep it in one piece long enough to use it.
No.
I'm going to call it fun. Call it fun. I call it scary as all hell. But
oh, jeez. You know, is there any... is there any, like, 5 or 10 minutes, Michael, that you're not just sitting still doing nothing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
No.
Doesn't seem like it.
At least when I'm sleeping.
Always doing 10 things.
But that's all you get. You usually only get, like, 10 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, well, last weekend was brutal.
Yeah, there wasn't some, like, you were up for 47 straight hours or something? Anyhow.
Well, I went, that was, yeah, I was awake for about 47 straight hours, which was not planned. Well, the first shift went about 19 hours straight, so I wouldn't have been around for the show last Sunday night anyhow. And then I was on backup the rest of the night, and then the next morning I needed to have a U-joint replaced in the truck, so there's no point in going home and turning around and coming back. Hmm. And they had trouble replacing the U-joint, and they got that done. I got home about 2:30 in the afternoon, and it was time to bring one of my... just wait for my son to get home from school and bring him back for his robotics competition. Mm-hmm. I got back from that about 10:30 at night. I had just poured myself a glass of Code Red and was about to partake in it when my pager goes off.
Jeez.
And I got back from that call. Oh, jeez. And I got back about 3 in the morning. Wow. So I had been up almost 48 hours straight because I'd been up like 3:30 Sunday morning, and it was 3 in the morning Tuesday morning when I finally got to bed. I was toast Tuesday. Tuesday was not a productive day for me.
Wow. That's incredible. I don't know how you do it. You know, I just, you know, I get home. I get up in the morning. I go to work. I come home. If I sit in front of the TV, I'm out in about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's and sometimes I actually try to do things, but I end up, you know, getting the head bobs while I'm trying to do something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, you don't have that option on shift. You get enough adrenaline going that you just... There was a little bit of a lull, but I didn't sleep. I should have during the Super Bowl. Yeah, I get these guys like, oh, my chest hurts, but no, I can make it to the fourth quarter. So as soon as the Super Bowl was over, the and off the door we went. But
we've got 5 people with heart attacks, and
it got really busy right after the Super Bowl. Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. So. Well, you know what? The next topic here was actually Barty's, and I thought he'd be joining us tonight.
Yeah, I saw him send it.
Because he sounded like he was, I don't know whether to keep it or not until he joins us, because it's one that can keep, so maybe we'll skip that one for now.
Yeah, and we'll just kind of continue to follow it in the news.
because maybe I think he's read up on it a little bit. I did a quick read and I know about it, but I'm not real concerned about it, hopefully. So, which takes us into the next category. And of course, we can probably talk about this for a little bit. And this is my own title because, as you know, we're talking about gun control again, and California is really starting to go nuts out there.
Well, they want you to get liability insurance.
It's all proposed, but basically, my comment here is that if you want to buy a gun these days, you have to be mentally competent. But of course, if you're not mentally competent, you're not considered mentally competent if you want to buy a gun. So it's kind of a catch 22, you know? But and California is going nuts. Not only, you know, banning all what they call semi-automatic or assault weapons, which, you know, and keeping you know, the okay, maybe this is ridiculous, but the limiting magazines to like 10 rounds. Okay,
that's what they did before with the Brady Bill.
Yeah, I know, but I want to tell. This is a petty thing, but you know, if you go shooting, loading the magazine's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So you know, the more ammunition you can put in a magazine, the more you can fire at a firing range without having to reload the magazines.
Yeah, they'll say buy more magazines, buy more 10-rounders.
Yeah, you can, but you still got to load them all, I guess.
Yeah, but you would still have to load more if it was a 15.
Yeah,
round.
I guess. But it's just, I don't know. This whole thing is just like, they really want to do it this time. They want to take them away. Not only is California banning assault weapons, limiting magazines, you have to go get a mental health check. Mm-hmm. And you got to register your guns, mm-hmm. or they'll come and take them away from you. Mm-hmm. But now they want you to carry insurance.
Mm. Well,
liability insurance.
Here's the funny thing: they can pass all the laws they want, okay, and they probably will. They'll get some to squeak through, some won't. Yada yada yada. But you know who really, really, really is watching this the most closely of all? All the criminals who don't give a flying fart in the wind about the laws, with the exception of the fact that that just means that every other house, rather than every house I can break into now, is completely unprotected.
That is true.
Because criminals don't play by the rules.
Right.
Basically, if they want a gun, you can always buy one on the black market. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter what laws you pass, you can find them.
Right.
So quite frankly, pass all the laws you want. It just means the odds just got better for all the bad guys.
The ones we've got on the books already are pretty strict, and they don't seem to be doing the job.
And a beautiful case in point, and I don't remember the exact figures here. I should look them up, but I'm going to ballpark off of what I can remember. When Australia as a country banned firearms, rape, I do remember this, went up 400% in 6 months.
Wow.
Home invasion, I do remember this one, went up 700%. Because they knew they weren't getting shot when they broke in. All
right.
What, you know, mom and pop homeowner are going to scream, cry, and then be at the mercy of the intruders.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, and the very first ones, I guarantee you, as sure as God made little green apples, that are going to complain and whine when the crime rate skyrockets when they pass those laws in California, are going to be all the same liberals that push to have those laws passed. I absolutely guarantee it.
Yep. It's going to happen.
They'll be the first one. It's the first ones to say, you know, it's a classic case. Well, we don't need to have guns. We don't need to have war until the bad guy who doesn't play by your rules, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. decides to do what he was going to do anyway, but has now no fear Worst case scenario, he's going to meet a cast iron frying pan when he walks in there with a 45 or a Tech 9 or whatever the hell he's carrying.
Yeah. Yep.
And quite honestly, you know, it's wars are the same way. You know, can't we all just get along? Human nature says no. Human psychology says no. But the first ones who claim not to want to ever have to go to war, the first time we're attacked by the bad guys, are the first ones crying, protect me.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're also all the people. I don't know. It's kind of it's interesting to see a kind of look at human nature. All these people that are so anti this and anti gun and this, they all kind of generally live in the urban areas or the suburbs just outside the urban areas where they're, everything's, you know, they have to be around people. They need people. And then there's other people like me who I venture in there because I have to, and then I like to run to the country where I have neighbors, but they're spaced apart, and I get to wave to them. And if you really need something, you can ask a neighbor to help, and they'll be more than happy to help. But you know, everybody kind of leaves.
Mind your own damn business.
Yes, and nobody cares what you do, and it's so nice. And the government doesn't jump in all the time and tell you how to live your life. And what you can and can't do. Well, they still tell us what we can and can't do. But not as bad. I just, I wish we could go back to those days. I really do. And, you know, if you need to protect your home, you had the weapons to protect it. But most of the time, you didn't have to worry about that because, you know, you're out in the country. And guess what? Crooks know. Most people that live in the country have weapons. So you're not going to mess with them.
Right, you hear a noise at 2 o'clock in the morning around the corner. When you round the corner, or when Mr. Bad Guy's looking to see who's coming around the corner, what they usually see is the barrel of a 12 gauge first.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, quite frankly, it's not uncommon for country. To live in the country, you have to be self sustaining, which means I'll shoot your ass through the wall. Mm-hmm. I know there ain't nobody going to be in my house at 2 o'clock in the morning when we're asleep that's invited. So I just shoot through the wall and listen for the thud. Look yes. for the puddle. I have no qualms about that at all.
But this brings up to the next topic that I've been aware of this for a couple of weeks now. Of course, last August or so, I think it was, Homeland Security went out and did a massive ammunition grab.
Mm.
They bought a massive amount of ammunition. And the first thing you go, why is Homeland Security need so much ammunition? And what's the purpose of it? I mean, what should we be worried that Homeland Security is buying all this ammunition? But then
tax dollars, by the way.
Well, you know, I think, you know, you have to worry a little bit about this, but I think why they're doing it, and I say why they're doing it because they're about ready to go do it again. My friend who has a gun dealership at work. Okay.
No, not at work.
Well, not at work, but he's my friend at work and he has a gun dealership.
Side business here.
Yes, side business. He told me an interesting thing that in August, when they went and did the first ammunition grab, and oh, by the way, they basically told all the ammunition people, you will sell us this ammunition. And you have no ifs, ands, or buts. You will sell it and give it to us. Well, that kind of made ammunition hard to get for everybody else mm-hmm. in that August time frame, and the price of ammunition went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And my friend was saying it was hard to find any ammunition and get it in stock. Mm-hmm. And people were willing to pay pretty much top dollar just to get a box of, you know, 9mm. Mm-hmm. Is this part of the plan? Now they're going to go do another massive buy?
Yeah, well, you know.
To keep the ammunition out of the public's hands?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. You know, a simple little word, two words, stockpile, stockpile, stockpile. And this is where foresight comes into play. And also, here's another two words, reload.
Yeah.
Reload your own.
Yeah, you have to get the equipment to do that, but it
That's
is available.
That's very easy to do.
Yeah.
It's very easy to buy, and quite frankly, it cuts the price of what you will. Now, significantly for ammo, but you know, you save your brass and all that other shit, they ain't buying up. They're not buying up the powder. They're not buying up the primers, and they're not buying up the shell casings.
Right.
Reload your own.
That
but
is true.
There again, too, you know, what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Sounds like all the kooks, though, that were saying stockpile and make sure you have yourself all set aside before everything starts to turn, you know, south. Mm-hmm. Sounds like all those people who are called kooks are now all the smart ones. And you know what? They're going to drop off the radar. You're going to stop hearing them. They're not going to talk about it. They're not going to preach about it. Matter of fact, they're just going to become very quiet and disappear in the background. Why? Because they just want to be left alone.
Oh, no. They're all kooks, and all their weapons should be taken away from them.
Mm-hmm. There, okay.
They're mentally unstable.
Sure we are. Yeah, mentally unstable, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of thing. Family, folks, kids, raise them right. You know, teach them right from wrong. Good moral standings. Participate in the community and sports and mm-hmm. cultural things. Yeah, they're the kooks. Okie doke. Sure. It's all on how you define it. Today, it's, you know, what's black, the society says is black, and tomorrow they say if it's white, it's white. And quite frankly, I say unsubscribe from society.
I hate to say, well, I don't.
They keep changing the rules to fit.
And I have stopped watching cable news completely.
I haven't listened to political radio, although here we are on late night.
I'm not even talking about political cable. I mean cable news, period. I watch local news, and that's it.
I don't watch any. I watch the weather. That's the only thing I actually really are interested in. And even then, they put a weird-ass liberal tailspin. The storm has teeth and is going to attack children and old people with blue hair. Yeah, okay, sure. Anything to bump up your ratings.
Did you see on Friday night at Channel 7? Channel 7 in Boston is the sensation station, as I like to call it. It's everything's sensational. Everything's, you know, a major issue. And they had 10 reporters out there all over Massachusetts, armed with their yardsticks, measuring the snow. They all had ski goggles on. They're out there. One person, it was like you couldn't really tell that it was really windy out there. So he had with him a plastic bag, and he unfolded the plastic bag just to show that the wind was blowing. Yeah.
It's pathetic.
Incredible.
It's actually, you know, and the masses are asses. They gobble their shit up. Well, 50% of the country, 48% of the country is. They just gobble this crap up. You know, it's gospel. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, as a whole, just absolutely pathetic. I don't even like talking about it now because it just pisses me off. But
and Channel 7, that was the other thing. They canceled all regular programming Friday night, and they covered the blizzard all Friday night. I said, it's a freaking snowstorm.
Snow happens in winter. I read that in a book once.
Yeah, especially in New England. You know, I know you probably haven't been used to it in the past couple of years, but you guess what? It's going back to normal now.
And it's like that other phrase that begins with S and it says it happens. Snow happens. Get over it.
But it was crazy. They were out there, and I'm just, you know, our news, our journalistic values have all disappeared. I mean, there is an agenda for everything now, and it's so hard to just find straight news. You know, you just got to dig for it on the internet. And like I said, I watch the local news because they're generally not that bad about it, and they handle the local stories and give you the weather, they do sometimes become drama queens about the weather.
No, really?
So, anyway, so that's that. And that's where we are so far in gun control. Hopefully, and by the way, it's The NRA is a very evil organization.
Oh, absolutely.
They're terrible.
Demons that are all wearing suits.
Yeah, even though they teach gun safety. And,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, the next one will be spam kills. So they'll try and ban spam, and it's real big in Hawaii, by the way. And then the next thing will be, let's see, shoelaces can strangle. So they'll have to make sure the shoelaces can actually break. You watch. It's just...
Well, you know, Bloomberg did announce this week that they're looking at possibly banning styrofoam cups.
Of course, why the hell not?
So,
So much for that hot cup of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. You know, see, well, we get hot coffee from Starbucks, too. And don't get me wrong, I love Starbucks coffee, but I'll tell you what, that shit goes cold a hell of a lot faster than a cup from Dunkin' Donuts. Why? It's in a paper freaking cup. That's why.
Yeah. It does get colder faster.
Yes, it does.
That's why it's so freaking hot when you buy it. It's like they have to make it, it's actually boiling as you...
Well, then they'll say, well, you should bring in your own thermally insulated cup so we can fill it. Well, here's another idea, asshole. How about I just make coffee at home and skip going there altogether? Da-da-da-da. it's going that way, man. I'm telling you.
New York is really in trouble. I mean, New York is just... They are getting worse and worse. It really is. This country is getting pathetic. Yep. Hopefully it's going to change. Hopefully it will change back. But
Nope. Hillary's in next.
Oh,
watch.
God, please.
You watch, man.
We need a third party because the Republicans are rolling over and turning into Dems.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened, and it ain't going to happen. You know why? Because they can't get their shit together and get organized enough to actually make a difference. They all start infighting with one another.
So how's Canada looking?
Look, Canada, you know what, it's much more liberal and laid back, but at the same time, too, if you know the rules going in, then that's fine, you know, if you know what the rules are before you sign up, then you have to play by them and their rules.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm thinking further south than I'm thinking north here, brother.
Well, you mean Texas?
Yes, sir.
Texas would be interesting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if that is, you know, if the Dems plan to go in there and infiltrate and organize all the undocumented people to vote the way they want to vote and turn it into a blue state.
Well, good luck with that one, because they're too busy throwing them back over the fence.
Oh, but they won't be able to.
They will try. I'm sorry, sir. We're talking about the state of Texas. And the government in the state of Texas is very different than it is everywhere else. When they say, you can't do that, watch me. And that's what they'll say. You know what? The only state that actually actively practices capital punishment. And you know what? They don't have a line because they kill your ass. Oh, sent to death. Boom, done. Next. That's simple. There ain't no waiting line. There ain't no sitting 20 years on friggin' death row. Your ass gets sentenced. Your ass dies. And you know what? I like that. It shows focus and drive.
Oh, God. I love it. Oh, well. Well, maybe we should change topics again. And I have one app this week, which...
on top of your 75 other apps.
Well, this one, I'm wondering whether it's called Mailbox, and it's a mail app for iOS, and its idea is to have to achieve zero mailbox, which means, you know, nothing in your inbox, zero inbox, I should say.
They have a button for that. It's called delete.
Well, it helps you do that quite nicely. When you bring it up, your mail's there, and if you swipe to the right, it archives it. If you swipe to the left, it brings up a little dialog box with has choices like show me that again tonight, show it to me on the weekend. You know, it's got several other options like that, so you can basically clean out your inbox and keep it down to zero, and look at the mail when you want to have time to look at it, instead of just letting it stack up and stack up. And, you know, for me, sometimes my inbox gets so full, so, oh, I want to look at that later, you know, that type of thing. It's like, I forget, because there's like, you know, by that time, 15 more things got on top of it. And so I forget about it, and it goes below the line. And I sometimes miss on some of them, the email. So for me, I'm finding this to be interesting. But it was kind of neat how they launched this thing. They did it kind of like Google does. And I'm wondering whether they did it for a technical reason or whether they did it just because this kind of thing makes them interesting and people want it because you can't have it. Because you signed up for a reservation and then you got notification, okay, your reservation is available, go download the app. And so I downloaded the app, but then it takes you to this other little page and says there are 295,000 people in front of you before your app is going to be
pack a lunch
started. I think it was actually 29,000 people in front of me. But I said, oh, okay, well, I'm closer. You know, I'm one step closer. I can't wait. I can't wait to try this thing. Wow, you know. It's one of those things, you know, Apple also does this with their announcements and when things are available. And so I got it. I downloaded it and it said there, you know, I had 29,000 people in front of me before it would be activated. And I said, oh, okay, so that's going to be a few more days. Well, the next day, it was active.
Wow.
So they went through 29,000 people pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
But it is a neat app. I have found myself using it instead of the other mail apps. For me, I get a lot of email. And I'm a victim of having it stack up because some things I just don't want to delete right away. Right. And this gives me the option of managing it so that I can keep the number in my inbox down. So it's good for that if you worry about those type of things. If I not, know. Just use the regular mail tool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm confused. Why was there a waiting list for an app? I don't understand that.
I think because they're rolling it out, and I guess you have to go through their servers to get it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It predominantly sits on top of Gmail, though. But I think they wanted to roll it out so that they claim they wanted to roll it out so that everybody would be happy and they wouldn't have any technical glitches as they're rolling it out. So they wanted to make sure everything went well. But then again, like I said, I wonder sometimes if that's it or does it just because it makes it attractive.
Hype.
Yes, hype. So, but it is good and it's a free app. So I don't know how they're going to make their money on it. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they get you hooked on it and then they come up and say, oh, or they start adding advertising to it or something. But right now, there's no advertising. It's a nice little app. It works well and it's free. So I don't know. I'm not sure how they're making their money. I should probably go and try to do some research on it and see. But I've got a link in the show notes to this app if you'd like to take a look at it and get a reservation.
So
them's all the show notes I had this week. I was kind of busy, still busy at work.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a lot of time to go research stuff. The latest Apple rumors are there's probably going to be a refresh. Well, there's going to be a refresh on Mac Pros. Probably in June. There's probably going to be refreshes on MacBook Pros in June. There may be, they didn't give a date on this, but the Mac Mini, iPad Mini is probably going to be Retina displayed. Probably by summer. And, oh, of course, we talked about last time, I think we talked about the Fab. The Fab. What do they call them? Fablet. That's what they call them.
Fablet.
Yes.
I was calling it Tone.
Tone? Oh.
Tone. Tablet phone.
A tablet phone. Yeah, so they call them Fablets, which is it's a phone, but it's a larger screen. Not quite as big as the iPad Mini, but not as small as the iPhone. Although a lot of people are thinking that's not going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see. So that's all the rumors that I've heard of coming out of Apple these days. And I don't know. Everything's kind of quiet. A lot of people said CES was boring this year. Wasn't worth it. I haven't heard anything about Macworld, which took place, I think, last week. And I've hardly heard anything out of that. So, technically, gadget-wise and everything, everything's kind of boring. Maybe we've gadgeted out. You know? There's no new gadgets.
Everything's been invented that's going to be invented.
Yeah. But I am in I'll be in a market for a new MacBook Pro. And I now I'm perplexed because I do need to get a new MacBook Pro. But what I'm concerned about is if they do a refresh in June, that they're going to refresh it and do away with the unibody construction ones and go with all the MacBooks looking are built like the MacBook Pro with Retina display, which basically means you can't update it at all. You've got to buy it as it, you know, as you want it. Because you're not going to be able to make any adjustments to it whatsoever once you purchase the thing, because it's all glued together, and they put, you know, to make it thin, they put the memory and the solid state memory all over the place and in weird places. So I'm not real thrilled about the way they're going with that. So I was looking at getting the unibody one that they have, and now I'm thinking I may have to push up and get that soon because I'm afraid it's going to disappear. And I really don't want the other one. So, I don't know. We'll see. I priced out, if you max out the MacBook Pro with the Retina, if you max it out so it'll last you 7 years or so, like my current MacBook Pro has done so far. But in order to do that, if you're thinking 7 years ahead, you're not going to want to stick with 8 gigs of RAM. You're going to want to put 16 in there. And you're going to want to max out on how much you can put in for a hard drive. And I think there the top was 750 gigs because it's solid state hard drive. And I did all. I added everything. Oh, and then upgrade the processors to the highest speed, which I think was 2.7 quad cores i7s. But anyway, I did that on the Retina display MacBook Pro, and the price was just over $4,000.
Oh, mega roll!
And I said, yeah, I'm not paying that much for a MacBook Pro. So that's why I like the unibody one, where I can add stuff to it, or I could buy it with the standard RAM configuration and go to OWC and buy cheaper RAM to put in it to upgrade it. So I'm thinking I may have to jump on that here in the next month or two before those disappear. Of course, there'll be.
Yeah, I got some research to do there. As you guys know, I was visiting my mom last week after I got done with my business stuff, or the week before last, not this past week, but. And my mom's house is literally, you know, just a couple of minutes away from OWC. So I figured, oh, I'm in town. They don't have a will call there, but I know people. I still could have gotten a hold of them. But I do have an issue with my MacBook Pro. I've got a 500 gig hard drive in it, And with all the various operating systems that I'm running for my software development, I'm down to about 40 gig free. Wow. So I thought, well, I'll just look up a terabyte. Well, they do make a terabyte drive, but...
Yep.
But the largest 7200 RPM drive they make from OWC, anyhow, is 750 gig.
Right.
So to go to terabyte, I'd have to drop down in the RPMs, and I'm not ready to do that yet.
Well, you know what
I guess thinking about what I'm going to do.
You know what I was thinking about doing if I ordered this MacBook Pro, the unibody version, is I was thinking about getting the 750 gig. No, actually, one with a 1 terabyte in there, and I know it's 5400. But then I was thinking about going to OWC. I'm popping out the DVD drive on it because I hardly ever use the DVD drive on my current MacBook Pro, and I've got an external one if I really absolutely need to use one. And they make a little chassis that fits into that place, and then you can either put another hard drive or you can put a solid state hard drive in there. And I was thinking about going with like a solid state hard drive, maybe like a 350 gig or something like that. Load the operating system, keep that enough of that free for processing stuff, and then you know, all the stuff that takes up room that just sits there as storage, move that over to the 1 terabyte drive, and that's sitting on the side. Like, you know, I'll put all my pictures over there, and I'll put movies and stuff over there. And but if I'm working audio or if I'm editing video or something, I have a workspace that's in the solid state drive that would make it wicked fast on processing.
Yep.
And as soon as you're done processing it, move it the hell over to the terabyte drive. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about doing on that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm probably short term. I'm still probably going to jump to a 750 gig. And, you know, fortunately for me, this is a work PC. Excuse me, work MacBook. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I'm tired. Forgive me. it's a work-related machine. And I'll talk to them about it and see if they'll just pick up the cost of the 750 gig drive. And that'll buy me some time. I have noticed, because, you know, there is some swapping going on. When you get down to 40 gig, there is some slowing down happening.
Yeah.
So now I'm going through and it's like, what do I really need on this machine? Well, unfortunately, it's a development machine. Everything! But what I don't need on there.
Yeah, you definitely want the fastest stuff for, like I said, if you're working on something constantly, you want that to be fast. But if you the stuff you just need for storage, man, I would try to put two drives in it. You know, get a fast drive for your everyday stuff, and then, you know, keep the larger drive, the slower drive, for just storage.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I was thinking about that. Were you talking about that last show? I know you talked about it recently.
Probably. We tend to repeat ourselves on the show.
That's all right.
but I'm definitely looking to get that here soon, and I can get a discount through work. Yeah, so hopefully that'll save me a little bit of money, and we'll see what happens. So maybe very soon there will be a new MacBook, because right now I am getting so tired of that beach ball.
I imagine
mine is swapping out all the time right now, and it's like, come on, I'm just trying to look at something on the freaking internet. You know, I'm trying to bring up a page. One of the worst pages that makes it do it is the iGoogle, my home page, which is going away this year. But boy, does that thing consume memory, because it's constantly updating. And I think it's got a leak in it. But I kill that page, and man, I get a bunch of memory back.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you looking at it with the activity monitor, or what are you using?
Yeah, I'm looking at the activity monitor.
Okay.
And I have when I close my activity monitor, I keep it on, but it's down in the platform there at the bottom. And I have it set up so it's looking at memory, so it gives me a little pie chart of what my memory is.
Okay.
So it constantly updates. Green is good. No green is bad.
Yeah.
And I get quite often I get up there and there's no green left and I get beach balls. So it's time. 3 gig is not enough. Whoever would have thought? Yeah, when you think about things, you know, I remember the days. Oh, 128K of RAM is more than anybody could possibly ever want to use.
You're flying.
64K. What am I going to use 64K with?
I can't even look at the internet with just 3 gig of memory of RAM on.
The first computer I built was an RCA Cosmac Elf based computer, and I use that term loosely, but you know, back then it was a computer. Mm-hmm. I started out with 64 bytes of RAM and a hexadecimal. Well, no, actually, it didn't even start with a hexadecimal keyboard. It started out with toggle switches.
Uh-huh.
And then I really went all out and I built a 1K expansion board for it so I could use a hexadecimal keyboard. I was living on, I was living it high.
Oh, wow.
High on the hog.
Jeez.
That was 78.
Yeah, that's funny. Wow. It's amazing. It really is amazing to think about. You know, like I said, with the weather thing, I actually saw that on one of the channels they were, maybe I was on, I think I was actually on like AccuWeather's webpage, and they had a video, and one of the guys that was there during the 1978 blizzard, and he's the one that went into, well, we didn't have the computers that we do today to depict that. And I'm like, wow, you know, 78, I was in college, and you're right. I mean, there were computers, and you know, the National Weather Service had a supercomputer that they used to do models and stuff, but nobody else did. You know,
and even then, yeah. a version of a supercomputer back then was, you know, compared by, you know, today's standards,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, the Cray of that time probably is smaller than my iPhone.
Commodore 64, guys. That was their supercomputer. Was a Commodore 64.
Well, actually, 78. There wasn't much available. I don't even. The Commodore wasn't even out yet.
No, I'm saying, but the computing power of a Commodore 64 was the supercomputer in 1978.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is incredible how we've come so far. Now we've got the magic little boxes that connect us to the world and give us all the information we need and tell us everything. I mean, I sit here and look at this thing now. I mean, I'll just have it sitting charging next to me while I'm watching TV or something, and the thing's constantly going bling, ba-doom, 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 with all these warnings and, you know, breaking news, and it always beats everybody else on breaking news. It's like, ba-doom. Oh, look at that, you know? And
you're sitting there and it goes, you hear this, like, oh, I just downloaded a podcast. Let's see here. That podcast was about 60 some odd meg. That's 6 times more than the first hard drive I bought from my IBM PC.
You're right. I never thought about it that way before. But yes, you're right. And that's a small podcast.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at some of the video podcasts I get, and some of them are like a gig. You know, if it's a long one, it'll be a gig to download for a high-definition, long podcast, a video podcast. And it's like, wow, a gig. Yeah, you couldn't even... It would take you a week to download that on a modem.
Yeah. Oh, not even that. Right. I remember waiting hours for a 10 meg file to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm talking about like the old 300 baud modems
when
we first started out. So it's amazing. It is amazing where we've come in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And remember, I used to be manager of R&D of US Robotics. That was a big deal when we went from a Sportster 36 to, you know, 56K modem.
56K flex.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used
of course,
to have
a, we had the old standby courier. That thing would do anything.
I used to have a Sportster. Maybe in one of the drawers over here somewhere.
Yeah, in the boxes upstairs. I've got some around, too.
Yeah, I got a bunch of modems. That's the crap I should throw out. I don't think it's going to ever be used.
You don't think there's going to be a comeback?
I don't think so. I really don't think people are going to be clamoring to, oh, wow, do you have that card that used to fit inside your...
I'll be quite honest with you. You know, if we ever get to the point where this old equipment makes a comeback, before that happens, I think a big comeback will be fire. Because we will have rolled right back into caveman days. You make fire. Exactly. Now we can cook our food. I mean, something big and catastrophic will have happened at that point.
Yeah, that is true. But maybe I should hang on to it then.
Oh, my God. You're going to run out of space. You're already running out of space.
I am already running out of space. I mean, this stuff wouldn't even be good in a yard sale, or as they say up here, a yard sale.
Yard sale. You know what it is? It's good for recycling. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All your old cards and monitors and boxes. That's what you do.
Try to find a motherboard with an ISA slot in it.
I have one.
Oh, sorry.
it's in one of the filing cabinets back here, in a static bag.
46DX2.
Yeah. Still, we keep saying this, and we haven't done it yet. But Josh, sometime when you get up here for a visit, actually, it'd be cool if we did it when Michael came for a visit too. I should pull out the Commodore 64, see if the thing still works.
I want to play Spy versus Spy.
The only problem is I'm wondering whether I have anything to display it on.
Oh, an old CRT green monitor?
They just had NTSC out.
No, it was...
No?
Yeah, but it was... The way you used to get it in was it ran on channel 2 or channel 3 or channel 4 on your TV. Your analog TV. Which, I do have an analog TV back here, so I guess I'll have to hang on to that. Because
another reason why he's not throwing stuff out.
Because I don't have any other analog TV, so how would you, you'd have to make some kind of an interface to get it to a...
You'd actually have to go into the board and hack out the video out.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
could be interesting. Wow. That's interesting. Okay. Well, I'm out of topics, but I see Michael added a couple. Yes,
yeah,
give us an update
the
with the problems you were having.
The Jeep is in to see the Jeep doctor, and it's been in all week, and it'll be in at least through the beginning of next week yet. One of the issues I ran into running home, and I'm not sure that the ice storm was the cause of it. It might have been the last straw. But first thing I noticed is my gas mileage dropped. It went from about 25 down to 18. Hmm. But it was still running. I still didn't have a ton of power in fifth gear. And on my way home, I had stopped to get some coffee. I had some complications that I'll discuss after the show. Yeah. But I wound up staying a little longer than I planned because of a family emergency down there. So I think there was a reason why I was delayed a week. I was supposed to be down there. Yeah. But on my way back, I stopped at one of the gas stations on the way up and got back in and started back up. And instead of it being hot no matter what I did, it was cold no matter what I did. Hmm. And so I stopped the Jeep and raised the hood and turned the radiator cap ever so slowly, and nothing happened. And I pulled up my flashlight and I could see all the way down to the core, and I didn't see any sign of antifreeze. Long story short, I put in a gallon of antifreeze from Chicago back home last week, and it was real foamy.
That means you got a blown head gasket.
Well, it's possible. I gave all the information to my trusty mechanic since I don't have time to do any of this stuff anymore. And first thing he did was apologize. And he said, well, I got some good news for you, and I'm sorry about it, but it turns out that the new radiator we put in is defective. And I said, well, that's not the first time that's happened to me. It's definitely a problematic thing with this Jeep, but I never saw a puddle on the ground.
Right.
And he said, and your check engine light's been coming on. And I said, yeah. And it's been running rough. I said, yeah. It's because you're running on a 5 out of 6 cylinders. I'm like, well, that would explain the gas mileage.
Yeah.
And it still could be a head gasket. And then he said, and we're hearing significant piston slap in the engine. I'm like, well, I guess it's the last time I drive it to New Hampshire and back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least without putting another engine in it. Right. But, you know, I still got, I haven't quite hit it. And he says, you know, don't trash it yet. I'm still working on trying to hit 250,000 before I KO that engine.
Yeah, but you already got a quarter. What do you got? You got 225?
I was just shy. Yeah, I was 225. Now I'm at 245, I think.
Oh, you're almost there.
Almost there. I'll get another 5 out of it. And my friends are like, are you going to rebuild it? I said, it's got 250,000 miles on the block. You know, I suppose if I take it out and replace everything. But, nah, I think it's time to look for another engine.
I was going to say, just buy a long, short block. You know, realistically, it's the block, pistons, crank, cam.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've done it before.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a possibility.
I make light of it. Oh, just buy a short block. Yeah, $4,000 later, that's not putting it in yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least with a Jeep, it's like, you know, the only thing more common than a Jeep in the United States is a Volkswagen Bug, at least 20 years ago.
Right.
There are a ton of 4-liter engines sitting around. And that's the old, you know, the 4-liter engine is the evolution of the old AMC 232.
Yeah.
Been around forever, except now it's got an engine control module and fuel injection. So I'm going to have to start looking at that. I mean, the rest of the vehicle is in really great shape.
Let me spitball something on it. Yeah, a buddy of mine did this. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is something I did, and I don't recommend you do, but I put a 350 VH Chevy small block in a CJ7 and bored it 30 over.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, exactly. I had a 383 stroker motor in a Jeep. Not good gas mileage, but boy, could that thing move. Anyway.
I had a friend that I helped put a 327 in a 64 Corvair.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm not, it is not unheard of for me to do something that strange. But yes, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, and I worked with a guy, God, it seems like 100 years ago. And what he did, if you're planning on keeping the Jeep and not selling it, he took a Volvo diesel engine. 4-cylinder diesel engine and dropped it in a Ford Ranger, which also will fit in the Jeep, and they make kits to mate up with the transmission. And that stupid thing got like, I think he put diesel in it once a month. I think it got like literally 51 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
You know, that is an idea. I should look to see. You know, there actually were some, I believe, some diesel kits out there for Jeeps. Mm-hmm. I got to look into that. I like that.
Because if you're going to pull the trigger and you're like, all right, well, now I got to go dig up $4,000 from the bank or wherever and put another engine in it. Well, now that if I know I'm not going to sell the Jeep, because emissions laws, like in this state, you have to, if you blow an engine in your car, you have to put the same engine of the same year back or newer back in it for reasons of selling it later down the road. But if I plan on never selling it, I'll put whatever the hell I want in there. In which case, 4-cylinder diesel engine, and now all of a sudden you've got torque, you've got mileage, reliability, you know. So
I'm going to look into this. I like that. No, I'm not going to sell this vehicle. What would I get for a Jeep, despite the fact it's in great shape? It's got 250,000 miles on it.
Right.
I don't think I'd get anything for it anyhow.
Right. No one's going to.
But I know what shape it's in.
Right, exactly. Right. I've replaced just about everything. At one point or another, it's all been new. So, exactly. So, on the same note, my truck is in the shop. Why? Cracked frame. It was due for inspection, and the frame cracked on the driver's side. And I'm like, man, I have replaced every, you know, all the parts, the bits, the pieces, the rear end, the water pump, alternator, tranny was redone. And you're looking at it, and I love the truck. I truly do. And I thought, you know what? Out of hell with it, I'm fixing it. And I called up my buddy who's a mechanic, and I said, can you weld together the cracked frame on the driver's side? He goes, oh, your Chevy? He goes, ah, pff, piece of cake. I said, but you have to straighten it first. He goes, no problem. And when I got, I drove the truck up there, up to just outside Barry's place up in Jaffrey. And I said, hey, man, you talk like this is no big deal. He goes, I must have done 100 of these things. He goes, I had two Chevys and they cracked in the exact same spots. Huh. Piece of cake. I'm like, okay, how much, am I basically taking out a loan? He goes, nah. He goes, where do you want me to stop? I picked a number. I said, call me at $400. He goes, oh, it ain't going to cost that much.
Really?
Went, that's cool.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Especially, you normally can't even get near a frame rack for less than that.
Right. So he's like, I'll work on it at night after the shop closes, and I'm just, kicking around. I'm like, I don't care. For that price, you can work on it at your leisure.
Yeah.
So.
No, but again, thanks. I hadn't thought about that, but I have seen diesel conversions on Jeeps, and that makes a whole lot of sense for me.
It does.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, you got the Dodge, which I love the sound of it every time you podcast. And I thought, well, and the other thing is when you're stockpiling up fuel, for living in the woods and the power goes out, yep, blah, 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 you can take an old oil tank from a house, fill that puppy up with diesel fuel, and that stuff will stay good for decades.
Oh, it keeps forever.
And it's much safer.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're like, okay, I got a stockpile of 200 gallons worth of diesel fuel that both vehicles can run on, plus probably your tractor, plus if you have a diesel generator. Now you're like, okay, you're really, it's just good all the way around. But most of all, you drive about 947,000 miles a year.
Yeah, well, not quite, but a lot.
You know what? Although diesel gels up in the winter and it gets darn cold where you're at, you dump in a can of, a jug of power service in with each one, and you don't have to worry about it gelling up.
Oh, no, we do. We do. And, yep, most of the stations, it comes that way. They already pre-mix.
Oh, they pre-mix. And
they have to. Yeah.
They didn't do that down here. And so that's something I used to do with my diesel F-350s, I always had two jugs of power service right behind the bench seat. And you're filling up both tanks. Glug, 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 glug. There you go. Now I don't have to worry about it gelling up, and it'll always run.
Yeah, I carry it with me just in case. But
can't start in fluid.
The stations up here, they've got it. They've got
it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Cummins. So I'm down, and I think I emailed you guys about this, but I go down for a couple of business meetings before I go see family. And so I'm down in... I finally make it to Beaver Dam after the Sheboygan We Have a Problem incident. And I'm at the hotel, and I call the house, and my youngest son took the bus home. And he's like, no, Mom and David aren't home yet. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I kind of figured they'd be home by now, but all right, I'll call back a little bit later. And that was 9:30 their time. Now, that's kind of early. I mean, he's got his after-school stuff, and it goes kind of late. But it was a school night, so I thought, no, I'll call back at 10 o'clock. Call back at 10. No, they're not home yet. 10:30. No, they're not home yet.
Uh-oh.
.. 11:30. No, they're not home yet. Now I'm beside myself.
Yeah.
And I figured, okay, let's see here. It's 5 degrees, 10 degrees out. They're way overdue. My next call is going to be the sheriff's department, but I call the house one more time, and my wife had just walked through the door, and I said, the next call I was going to make to the sheriff's department. She goes, no, they already found us. My oldest son is a student driver. Very good, but we got pretty extreme driving conditions up here.
Yep.
And they were about 7 miles from town. There's a stretch, basically from the nearest civilization of any kind is about 35 miles. But they were about 7 miles from the harbor, and my wife was just about to say, you're a little bit too far off to the right. And, the plows up here, they push back the snow past the road bed, to keep the drifts back.
Right.
But if you go too far to the right, there's nothing underneath. And especially with a four-wheel drive or not, it's Cummins diesel. It weighs a lot.
Right.
And he got that right tire right in a spot where... about 6 weeks ago, a friend of mine rolled their vehicle there because that happened to them. He only managed to get it at about a 45-degree angle. And I don't know. I'd like to think that somebody upstairs was keeping an eye on my wife and son. Or if nothing else, the sheriff's department was, because they knew I was out of town. They were notified because the medic was out of the county. They went in the ditch, literally at a 45-degree angle on the truck, the passenger side into the snow. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds later, there were red and blue lights behind the truck, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm glad they were there. So they took care of my son and my wife right away, but it took them 3 hours to get the truck out.
Jeez.
And the passenger side is rearranged a little bit, but everybody's okay.
Yeah, that's the important part. And first and foremost, family are safe. And the upside is, I know with the Dodge diesels, especially with the Cummings, they are one seriously robust vehicle. And I'm going to, if I may jump on your bandwagon, I was going to buy, and I regret to this day not, buy my dad's old crew cab Dodge Dually 4x4 diesel.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's a, what was it, a 97? So it had the, you know, the extended cab on it and the whole nine yards. Yep. Well, he rolled that truck.
I've got a crew cab.
Okay, so it's the same truck, but you have a third door that opens up to the back. His doesn't.
I have a four-door.
Four-door. His is just the two-door, and the seats fold way forward. But he rolled that truck, literally rolled it 360 degrees down the side of a mountain.
Okay.
Which ripped off the fender flare on the passenger side, tore it up pretty good, really did the door and the hood, dented it in, didn't cave in the truck at all, the top of the roof. Mm-hmm. And it had been sitting with a window blown out of it for over a year. And I went down, this is years ago, and I said, what do you want for it? He goes, oh, it still runs and drives. He says, but you're going to need a fender flare and a door and a, you know, that kind of stuff, cosmetic junk. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to do it. I brought him a door. Bought a door up here for $150 and drove it down to North Carolina. Decided, you know what? It's probably me biting off a little bit more than I want to chew to put it back on the road. So I passed on it. I gave the door to my brother, who bought the truck off my father, who's driving it to this day with the door on it that I gave him. Uh-huh. A new fender. And the thing was, he goes, I can't find the fender flares. They live way down in the mountains in North Carolina. And he says, I can't find one of these fender flares except at the dealer near $1,000. And I said, I found one up here for $380 for the dualies. And to this day, he's driving that truck 18 and a half miles to the gallon in four-wheel drive diesel dually. And I regret not buying that truck so much now.
And I'm getting about 24 to 26.
Yeah, you've got the right gearing, though. You've got that.
Yeah, well, I have the six-speed manual in it.
Right, and this was the automatic, and it had the towing package, so it was geared steeper, and you wanted to get them where they don't have the towing package, because it still pulls like a son of a gun, but when you're not pulling, you get really good fuel economy. Right. Yeah. Yep, they are tough, tough vehicles, but I'm glad, most importantly, that the family's okay, and the truck's just a little scuffed.
Yeah, and everything functions. You know, the doors don't even... The panels on the passenger door and the rear passenger door are pushed in, but the windows work fine. The doors open and close. They're not even ajar. They just normal.
Yeah. Right.
And the officer looked at my wife and said, you know, I could write this up. You could turn it into insurance, but you know, long term, it'd be a whole lot cheaper just to fix it yourself.
Yeah.
And thank you. You're right.
Yes, exactly. Because
there were these. Yeah, the problem was there were the big white posts on the side of the road in the snow.
Yep.
So they didn't even see them, but those posts went right into the side of the truck.
Ouch.
But, you know, nothing's out of alignment. There's it's a little cosmetic damage, but the truck runs fine.
I was going to say, you look at it and go, it's a truck.
Yeah. It's got 200,000 miles on it. I said that to the mechanic because when he was putting the U-joint in, he goes, yeah, but it's spotless other than this. You should go ahead and have this fixed. And I'm like, well, I kind of planned, but I'll wait till spring.
Right. There's no rush now.
No.
Right. Yeah. Well, I see you got your antenna stuff.
Yeah. Actually, where I'm sitting right now, I am surrounded by little coils of coax as I'm sorting stuff to put things together.
Wow.
But holy cow, I was in for an awakening. It's been a while since I bought coax.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, I've got, and of course the guy gave me, I stopped, I was driving through Milwaukee on the way back on a week ago Thursday now. Mm-hmm. So I went right by Amateur Electronics Supply.
Okay.
The mothership store.
Right.
And I walk in there like, well, let's see here, like a dual band vertical Comet. Oh yeah, the NA, you want the X500 or the N connector X500? Like, well, the X500. That was $100. That I expected. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's see here. Let me look at your catalog, because this was, you know, most people come in there, they've been planning for months when they walk into AES. I just walked in off the street, which kind of threw him for a loop, but he knew who I was. And I said, let's see here. Last time I was in here, I bought a spool of coax. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's gotten a little expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a partial spool here. But, you know, I had this X500 vertical. I said, yeah, I'm putting this on a rotor. He looked at the vertical dual band, and he said, you're putting this on a rotor? Like, so-and-so, you know me better than that. Below that, there's going to be a VHF, UHF beam, and then a 6-meter beam and a tribander. Oh yeah, then you're gonna want the yada 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 Ultraflex. I go, okay, yeah, we're fine. What's 100 feet of that? $169. So I bought one vertical antenna, dual band vertical antenna, 100 feet of coax, and two end connectors, and it was with tax $280.
Wow. Yep.
But nothing's those cheap. Unfortunately, I've probably got 200 feet of other coax sitting around here, not including what's sitting on the spool here. But that spool, if I bought the spool, it was like $800.
Wow.
Like, well, that's not an option right now.
Yeah.
But so I've got a lot of coax connectors to put on and a lot of measuring, but I now have everything I need to put the rest of my antennas up. So I'm pretty hyped about it. And it's snowing like crazy out, so it's perfect weather for this.
I was going to say, you're going to be running out of winter soon, so you better
hurry to do up. It in crummy weather. Well, it's right up there.
Yeah. Jeez. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Aren't stink bugs a summer bug?
Typically.
Okay.
Typically.
Buddy, you're out of season.
Well, you know, since your office is heated all the time, it's like moving to the tropics for it.
I guess so. I still got these freaking stink bugs in here. How long do they live?
All season, because it's heated. You've got a nest in the attic, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Because every show we've done for like the last six shows, you always have a stink bug show up.
There's another one playing dead over here. Oh, I think it is dead. Yeah, he hasn't moved in 3 days, so.
He's resting.
Yeah. Yeah, the storage area of my office over the garage is a storage area that's open to the garage. So this office is not totally sealed up.
Really?
And
you don't say.
Yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately, I have those, and in the summertime, I have wasps that get in here, and like the dive bomb you as you're trying to do a podcast once in a while. So may have to get some caulk and try to seal this place up a little bit more.
A little spray foam.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. But I've only got a couple places where I can see where they possibly could be coming in, and that's where, well, all my cables come in. Stuff. So I guess I'll have to go take care of that spot. Anyway, well, guys, we're running probably a little over an hour now. I think it's a good time to call it.
Yep.
It. Okay, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's the Hex Bombs again. We had them on before, and their song United. And we'd like to say to all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thank you for what you're doing. And yeah, especially absolutely. You OCONUS guys, we hope you get home real soon to your family and friends here back home. So with that, I will say I am Perry J in the southwest corner of a very snowy New Hampshire.
And this is Josh.
And a very snowy suburbs of Copper Harbor. I'm Michael the Virtual Reaper.
And we'll see you next week. Here's the Hex Bombs.
Good boy.